Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Walter Shapiro, an award-winning journalist who has covered the last 10 presidential campaigns. He's the author of One Car Caravan, On the Road with the 2004 Democrats Before America Tunes In, and most recently, Hustling Hitler, the Jewish Vaudevillian Who Fooled the Fuhrer, which is about his con man great-uncle. Currently, he's a columnist for Roll Call and a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University, and he teaches political science at Yale University. And he has an article at The Guardian, The Nunes Memo Shows Republicans Buy Their Own Conspiracy Theories. Welcome to Background Briefing, Walter Shapiro.
I apologize for having all these affiliations and causing such a long intro.
I know, I'm taking up valuable time. But let me ask you, though, about the weaponization of conspiracy theories. My sense is, at this point, it looks as though Donald Trump's going to get away with this.
We don't know. I mean, it depends what get away with it is. His poll numbers, even charitably, as they hit 40%, are 15 to 20% lower than almost any other president since we've had polling. It is looking like the Democrats, the odds are better than 50-50. The Democrats will win the House. We have a Democratic senator from Alabama, and there is no evidence that anyone is being attracted to what Donald Trump is doing. So whether or not Robert Mueller's investigation leads to some sort of removal from office, which I think is unlikely, I really don't think he's getting away with it.
Well, when I say getting away with it, my sense is that he may well be able to shut this thing down, which appears to be his entire motive here. You know, he seems to have laid the groundwork to get rid of Rod Rosenstein. And when people on the left, if you watch MSNBC, of course, you'd think he's about to be either wheeled out of the White House in an orange jumpsuit or a straitjacket. But the reality is I think he's actually in a much stronger position than people recognize, and that he could tough this one out. He's a very brazen character. We've never seen anybody like this before, operating out of the Roy Cohn playbook. And if stopping Mueller is his main focus, which is what we hear from White House reporters, it looks like he may do it. And my question to you would be, everybody says it'll be a constitutional crisis and people will take to the streets. Well, what will that do?
Well, first of all, it's worth remembering, people did not take the streets when Richard Nixon fired Archibald Cox in the Saturday Night Massacre. That the reaction was almost entirely in the media and in the United States Congress. That unlike Vietnam, which had massive demonstrations, or the March on Washington, demonstrations were not the modus operandi during Watergate. And I'm not sure having a large demonstration of people who hate Donald Trump to begin with will convince anyone. What if this were to happen? And remember, he has been talked out of it many times. In terms of firing Mueller, if this were to happen, what really is to watch is how many Republicans have a sense of conscience and conviction and a respect for democratic norms. I mean, as crazed as the release of the Nunes memo and Paul Ryan's blessing of it, I found it significant that John Thune, the number three ranking Senate Republican, somebody considered a comer in the Republican Party, someone who is about as orthodox a Republican as you can find, issued a statement really deploring the fact that this memo is being released, and that the Democratic counter memo, if it was going to be released, then the Democratic counter memo should have been released as well. So there. You know, I don't want to get too misty-eyed about the Republican Party, since so many prominent Republicans from Paul Ryan on down have made their Faustian bargain. But there are Republicans who will only go so far. It is telling that probably the most prominent anti-Trump Republican, Mitt Romney, is going to be heading to the Senate in 2018, and Republican senators are already talking about giving him a leadership role.
But, I mean, what is the Faustian bargain here? My sense is that the Faustian bargain might well be, since the Republicans and Paul Ryan appear to be the enablers, is that they figure that maybe shutting this thing down before November is their best hope.
Well, again, I don't see it. I really, by all polling, firing Mueller would be a disaster for Trump in terms of approval ratings. And not a good thing for congressional Republicans. These are people who want to talk about cutting regulations, and as Paul Ryan tweeted a tweet that was soon after deleted, they want to talk about those wonderful secretaries who are getting $1.50 extra a week in their paycheck.
And again, I'm speaking with Walter Shapiro, who's an award-winning journalist who has covered the last 10 presidential campaigns. He's the author of One Car Caravan, On the Road with the 2004 Democrats Before America Tunes In, and most recently, Hustling Hitler, the Jewish Vaudevillian Who Fooled the Führer, which is about his con man great-uncle. Currently a columnist for Roll Call and a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University. He teaches political science at Yale University, and he has an article at The Guardian, The Nunes Memo Shows Republicans Buy Their Own Conspiracy Theories. Right, but there are measures short of firing Mueller that would be neutering him, which is what the fear is if somebody comes in and takes Rosenstein's job. I mean, already what Trump appears to have achieved is that he may not have to testify. He has the excuse now saying, why should I testify to Mueller when it's a kangaroo court?
Well, I mean, he can, which then gets tested in the courts. And I'm not a legal expert. I don't even play one on TV. So I'm not saying I can predict how that's going to play out. But basically, what you have is a situation where no one, if he fires Christopher Wray the second FBI agent director that he would have fired, there is no way. We're constantly dealing with the fact that the Senate does have confirmation powers. And it is impossible under these terms for someone to get through a 51-49 Senate, someone who is going to offer only fealty to Donald Trump and no independent judgment. It is one of the reasons why, after he fired Mueller, after he fired James Comey as FBI director, he had to settle for Christopher Wray, who is proving as independent, if not as outspoken as Comey.
Right, but he could put in somebody that's already been confirmed, like Scott Pruitt.
I'm not a constitutional expert, but I do not believe the President of the United States has the power to move the EPA administrator to head the FBI.
Well, that was I'm quoting one of those Washington insiders on one of the talk shows who said that was a possibility. But in general, what puzzles me, Walter Shapiro, is that do you think the Democrats in any way have contributed to this, what's now being called a nothing burger, by being so, so almost like the sky is falling? You can't possibly put this memo out. And by making such a big deal out of it, they have undercut their narrative, which is that there's no there.
Well, I find it interesting that one of the Sunday shows, retiring Trey Gowdy, who many people remember as the person who was chasing Hillary Clinton over Benghazi, a bit like Captain Ahab or Inspector Javert, has said that it's clear that the Steele memo was not the triggering point for the investigation of Russia. What you have is, perhaps the Democrats overhyped, oh my God, they're releasing this memo. But the point was, the most powerful thing in releasing this memo was the press release the FBI put out unprecedentedly saying that this is not an accurate memo. And that did more to undercut the validity of this memo than any single speech on the House floor than any Democrat made.
Right, but if you watched Fox News, I doubt whether that was even mentioned, let alone disseminated.
But if you watch Fox News, you didn't need the memo to go down the hole of Sean Hannity conspiracy theories. Why not just say conspiratorially? What about the Steele memo? I mean, you didn't need the letter if you're a true believer.
Well, it's funny, you know, you mentioned some of the analogies there. The analogy that Lindsey Graham gave in reference to Devin Nunes was he referred to him as Inspector Clouseau. So
yeah.
It's an amazing thing to watch that he goes on Fox and Nunes admits that he hasn't even read the underlying FISA case.
No, he delegated a Trey Gowdy to read it for him,
right.
And Gowdy is now on TV as saying that the claims that Trump himself is making about the memo are not true.
Right.
So, I mean, the fact is that perhaps what we're dealing with here is the biggest lie in government is something called the House Intelligence Committee.
Well, at least in terms of the person in charge.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's actually called his Democratic colleagues a bunch of liars. I'm quoting that accurately. So it's obviously not there's not a lot of collegiality there, would you say?
No, again, so many arrows keep coming pointing back to the person who has proven the most spineless creature since God invented the octopus, and that is Paul Ryan, who blessed the release of this memo.
Well, it is an extraordinary thing to watch, and one of the things that seems consistent here is that the extraordinary lack of quality, which is a polite way of putting it, that the Trump appointees exhibit. The idea that when Trump did his editorial board meeting at the Washington Post shortly after his nomination, he was asked about foreign policy, and the first name he gave as a foreign policy advisor was Carter Page, PhD. Along with Papadopoulos. And if you look at both of those, you think, my God, you know, talk about the gang that couldn't shoot straight.
Of course, the flip side is that when Carter Page came under attack the fall, September, October, and afterwards, Trump said he barely knew Carter Page. I guess he had some volunteer on some committee, I think, for a short time.
Right. And he did the same with Papadopoulos. He disowned them. But the point I wanted to make was that he's hiring a guy. Not only is the guy goofy and obviously manifestly unqualified, and the other guy, Papadopoulos, who obviously blabbed to an Australian diplomat.
Who made the mistake of believing he could outdrink an Australian.
That's right. Being Australian myself, I understand that. So he, but the point about Carter Page is the FBI was investigating him for being a possible Russian spy when he was hired by the Trump
administration. And Time Magazine reports this morning that I think in 2013, Carter Page bragged publicly that he was an advisor to the Russian government.
Well, he made an incredibly anti-American speech at a university in Moscow, and that was what, by the way, what prompted the final extension. But this bogus memo, this so-called nothing burger, clearly the one thing that they apparently was asked to be redacted was the one thing that they really wanted to stress in that, and that is on the first page of the memo when it talks about the Pfizer extensions, and it says then Director James Coney signed 3 Pfizer applications in question on behalf of the FBI, and Deputy Director Andrew McCabe signed one, then Deputy AG Sally Yates, then Acting DAG Dana Buente, and then DAG Rod Rosenstein, each signed one or more Pfizer applications on behalf of DOJ. Well, if you look at that list, you know, Comey's been fired, so has Sally Yates, McCabe's been forced out, so has Dana Buente. Puts Rod Rosenstein in the crosshairs, doesn't it? If that's the
It does point to the enduring genius of that great chooser of human talent, Donald J. Trump, who nominated both Mr. Rosenstein and Mr. Ray for their current jobs.
Well, as I say, I still feel that at this point, he's getting away with it. I mean, would you accept the argument that he kind of got away with the NFL, you know, they're having a Super Bowl today, that take a knee movement, and he obviously weighed in and turned it into a kind of disrespect for the flag and for the veterans? Who do you think won that round? Who do you think won the government shutdown round? And who do you think won?
Well, right now, we don't know who won the government shutdown round because we have a new February 8th deadline.
Even sooner, according to the Treasury, they're going to run out of money even sooner.
Oh no, that's the debt ceiling crisis. Right. That's another crisis.
Right.
So, I mean, the whole closing down the government and lifting the debt ceiling, still remains an open book. And I think 90% of voters have already forgotten that the government shut down for a weekend. As for the NFL, I don't do pro football. And it is a religious cause, and so I cannot comment on the fact that the President of the United States seemed to have a particular animus towards African-American football players.
Well, just in closing then, back to the sort of broader picture, is this case now, given that the best explanation for Trump's behavior is, and you pointed out how low his ratings are, is that he is adhering to the base and throwing them a bone constantly while he's distracting all of us with all of his antics. And not a lot of focus has been placed on what he's actually doing legislatively or what's being done. Most of it is.
Well, part of it may be because Donald Trump doesn't know what's being done. I mean, do not underestimate. This is not a man who is micromanaging his appointees, the law enforcement agencies aside.
Right.
So whatever Scott Pruitt is doing, whatever Ben Carson is doing, whatever is happening in the Agriculture Department, it is not as if Donald Trump is ordering it or even knows about it. Remember, this is the man who wants one-page memos with bullet points, no more than 9 in large type.
Right. But the fact that he is constantly throwing a bone to his base, and the assumption is that the reason why Paul Ryan and other Republicans are so callow is that they don't want to have to be primaried and deal with this roiling base that Fox News riles up on a constant basis. So do we have a tyranny of the minority in this country?
Well, we have a tyranny of the minority, but we also have a fact that by every measure leading up to the 2018 election, the Democrats are more energized than the Republicans. And what we may have is a majority, a congressional majority, that made a Faustian bargain that starting in January 2019 will be a congressional minority, while Democrats with subpoena power reveal what has been going on in the Trump administration for the prior 2 years.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, and I thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us, Walter.
Oh, it's always been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And again, I've been speaking with Walter Shapiro, who's an award-winning journalist who has covered the last 10 presidential campaigns. He's the author of One Car Caravan on the Road with the 2004 Democrats Before America Tunes In, and most recently Hustling Hitler, the Jewish Vaudevillian Who Fooled the Fuhrer, which is about his con man great uncle. Currently a columnist for Roll Call and a fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University. He teaches political science at Yale University, and he has an article at The Guardian, "The Nunez Memo Shows Republicans Buy Their Own Conspiracy Theories." We're going to take a brief station break and assess the aspects of today's Super Bowl that the NFL is not emphasizing.